At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's time to rise and grind, and hopefully everybody had a sensational Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but it's time to get back to work. December 26th. This is a Tuesday. This is the early line. I'm Donnie Wrightside, and filling in for Ben Stevens today, the one and only Davis Maddock, and we got you covered for the next 3 hours. Davis, how was the holiday break so far for you?
You know, the holiday break, it was all right. I mean, I gotta say, my Christmas was absolutely ruined by the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, you Kansas City Chiefs on at noon, 10-point home favorites. You have Taylor Swift is there. Travis Kelce dresses up as Santa. I'm like, this is going to be great. You know, we're going to get a nice win. Rashee Rice is going to do his thing. Pacheco's going to... Nah, dude. It watching the Kansas City Chiefs try and score on Christmas Day, when Aiden O'Connell literally could not complete a pass, that's got to be the worst Christmas I've ever had. It really does have to be the bottom. I mean, it doesn't get worse than that. It was awful.
When the punter, Davis, probably has the best performance of the day from the quarterback position, that's pretty impressive for Kansas City. But you're right. It was. And by the way, I threw away a nice little wager on the Kansas City Chiefs 2 weeks ago to be the number one overall seed in the AFC. Why? Because I thought they had the easiest schedule going through. Well, see what happens in the playoffs at this point. But a wild weekend. And yes, we're going to handicap here back from Christmas Day, which included maybe the game of the year, the number one seed in the NFC versus the number one seed in the AFC. That was the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers. 33-19. If you didn't stay up for that one, it was the Ravens with the 33, the San Francisco 49ers with the 19. As we welcome in the radio audience, you're watching and listening live, December 26th edition, Tuesday morning of the early line. It's Davis, it's Donnie, and we got you for 3 hours here talking Ravens and 49ers. 4 interceptions for Brock Purdy. He was the MVP of the league, Davis, until yesterday.
He was the MVP of the league until yesterday. It was pretty much his. I think, honestly, even with the 4 interceptions, he threw 3 in the first half. He still would have been the MVP if they would have won this game. You know, if McCaffrey has a huge game, Debo has kind of one of his classic, you throw him the 7-yard slant and he takes it to the house. The Ravens can't get anything going on offense. I would say almost no chance he wins the MVP now. You know, maybe if the Ravens look absolutely terrible the rest of the way, like if they lose that week 18 game to the Steelers, or I mean, I guess they could lose to the Ravens or to the Dolphins as well. I don't think they will. You know, right now Lamar definitely is going to win. Our boy Carver Hayes, Josh Allen, he still might win. Josh Allen, if they win out, if they end up being the 2 seed in the AFC, I certainly think Josh Allen can win. But right now, I mean, Purdy, That's a lot of money. I saw a story last week that a guy sold his Purdy MVP ticket for like $150,000. Like, he's got to be feeling pretty good about that transaction right now.
Absolutely nailing that. That's what it's all about, making some profitability on some tickets here and selling at just the right time, which means those Las Vegas Raiders were selling their offense at just the right time. Went into a shell in the second half, and it didn't matter. 20-14 final, the Raiders upend Kansas City in Kansas City for another home field loss at the loudest stadium in the world. Incredible. Patrick Mahomes, 27-44 for 235. And my goodness, every single play, Davis, it felt like he was running for his life. But taking a look at the Vegas Raiders, Zamir White running for his life. 22 carries, 145 yards. Unbelievable win for the Raiders.
Unbelievable win for the Raiders. I saw a stat yesterday that Mahomes ran for more lateral yards, so carried more distance than he did in that Super Bowl versus the Buccaneers, where it felt like he was running for his life every single time. I mean, when you're having to move that much for a regular season loss to the Raiders, you know things are not where they need to be. And by the way, Antonio Pierce, I mean, what more can you ask of this guy? I think the interim tag probably is going to be removed from him at this point.
Seven straight wins for the Kansas City Chiefs over the Las Vegas Raiders ended yesterday. Philadelphia and the New York Giants from South Philadelphia. Tommy Cutlets cooked at this point. 9 of 16, no touchdown passes. A QBR 14.1 was replaced by Tyrod Taylor, but the Philadelphia Eagles still end up beating the New York Giants. This is one of the few times in my house on Christmas Day cheering for the Eagles. I was angry, Davis, every time they ran the football into the end zone because I needed two touchdown passes out of Jalen Hurts. I didn't get it, but the Philadelphia Eagles get a much-needed victory over the Giants.
Much-needed victory. I think you and I have been aligned on this. Like, the best football for the Eagles is still ahead of them. I was not concerned about them one iota coming out of that crazy run where they played, you know, the five best teams in the NFL, including the Cowboys twice over a seven-week span. The Eagles are great. I was happy to see DeAndre Swift finally score a touchdown. You know, good for him. And Jalen Hurts, man, most unstoppable play in the history of football, the tush push. It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
And it's unbelievable. Yeah, it really is.
It's pretty fun. By the way, DeAndre Swift backers who needed him to get in the end zone should have scored early. I don't know how a DB stood him up at the 1 yard line and pushed him back. Then he scores again, but it's found out just by a grass blade that his knee was down and finally punched it in late in that ball game. Let's flip it over to the NBA. Christmas spectacular. The New York Knicks, 129-122 over the Milwaukee Bucks, despite Giannis Antetokounmpo going for 32-13-6. It was a Brunson Christmas present in the Garden.
It was. And I mean, Jalen Brunson is kind of one of those guys where you look at him and you're like, a guy that size really should not be able to dominate in the NBA. You know, like you could go on and run, you know, I mean, we all remember Isaiah Thomas and all of that stuff, but it really is incredible. And I don't know. Do you think the Mavericks wish they still had him instead of Kyrie Irving? Do you think in their heart of hearts, they said, you know, maybe we did not go about doing those things, you know, the right way. Maybe we should have just kept our guy.
Could have been there, but he was sensational in the Garden yesterday. Steve Kerr in that game between the Nuggets and the Warriors also on Christmas Day. Not happy about Nikola Jokic getting 18 free throw attempts. And by the way, he made every single one of those. 120-114 victory over the Golden State Warriors.
You know, I've actually kind of been waiting for Jokic to do this for a while. Jokic plays basketball, not NBA basketball, right? Normally a guy his size with those handles and that superstar reputation would be hunting. I mean, Embiid does it. Embiid is like the best at it, at generating foul trouble, at getting foul calls. And Jokic did that yesterday. He said, you know what? It's not really working. The shot's not falling. There's one thing I can do here, and I can get the whistle to go in my favor. He did it. Steve Kerr was apoplectic after the game, but good on Jokic.
Very upset. By the way, very upset those Los Angeles Lakers lose by 11 to the Boston Celtics. Davis, you tell me before the game, Anthony Davis goes for 40 points and 13 rebounds. That's a Lakers victory, but it's not. The Celtics win again.
The Celtics win again, and the Celtics, I mean, they're the best team in the NBA. They really are. Like, just what, like, and if they had one more depth wing, I just don't know who catches them. Like, Derek White is unbelievable.
It's a great team. It's got a lot of depth here. It's got superstars. It's got guys willing to play those, you know, B roles here, like Kristaps Porzingis, a nice addition to them. Looking good for the Celtics. Quickly here, also the Dallas Mavericks, 128. The Suns, 114. The Suns now a game under 500. But if you can have your superstar player, Luka Doncic, drop 50, 15, 6, and four, along with three blocks. One of the best games you're ever going to see from an NBA player. We're going to talk Christmas Day, NFL action. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it. Hour number one in full effect right here on the Early Line, Sirius XM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. It's Davis and Donnie, and hopefully everybody had a great Christmas Eve, great Christmas Day, but we got a lot of stuff to recap here, which includes a 33-19 victory for the Baltimore Ravens over the San Francisco 49ers. And I got to be honest, I didn't see this coming here. And me being a Philadelphia Eagles fan, losing to Seattle, oh, it looks like they can't get the one seed. I said, it didn't matter anyway. The 49ers were going to be running the table. I thought the Ravens would be able to give a solid effort in San Francisco. They're a quality ball club. But Davis, I didn't see 33-19 coming here, and particularly how weird the game actually started. A safety, 5-0. Looks like San Francisco's rolling. George Kittle is an animal in the first quarter alone. But then you saw that Baltimore Ravens defense that only gave up about 160 yards per game through the air really put the clamps down and opportunistic, to say the least. Four interceptions from Brock Purdy, one from Sam Darnold. They turned San Francisco over five times and came away with a 2-touchdown victory. I was so impressed by the Ravens yesterday, Davis.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be. I think they showed, like, they definitely are the class of the AFC, which is a conference that is so topsy-turvy right now. You know, I mean, the Bengals kind of out of it, which is not how it's been the last couple years. The Bills having this crazy season where they lose games they're supposed to win games they're supposed to lose. The Chiefs, I mean, look, I hope I don't want to talk that much about the Chiefs today, but not their year. Not their year, Donnie. I think I can say it's probably not their year. And Lamar, I mean, Lamar is like a guy I've always loved, so I'm not surprised. I do on Friday a picks show on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast, and me and my co-host Rich Rebar, we both had the Ravens as either our favorite or our second favorite bet against the spread of the entire week. I think it really comes down to one thing, which is I don't think anyone can seriously doubt Brock Purdy at this stage, but Brock Purdy is a point guard, right? He executes the system. Lamar is like an artist. You know, he can perform in the system, but he can also perform outside the system. And that 30-yard scramble at the end of the half to add in that field goal, that's just an example of, like, Lamar and maybe Jalen Hurts are probably the only two guys in the entire, and Justin Fields, actually, I'll give that to Fields too, are like the only guys on earth who can make something like that happen out of absolute chaos. And I think right now, the way that the odds market has it set with Lamar is like the clear MVP favorite, I think it's right. I think he has really been that good this season.
Yeah, we're going to get to those numbers because they swung wildly on the MVP race, which is very interesting to me because also, I think as you alluded to start the show, if we saw the San Francisco 49ers maybe 33-31, Purdy doesn't throw four interceptions, just throws two touchdown passes, he still would be in it at this point. But I like the fact that you brought up the point guard. Like, as you take a look at both of these quarterbacks, like Brock Purdy, that John Stockton, let me just set you up perfectly. I have like the maestro out here. I'm running the show. And then you take a look at Lamar Jackson, more of an Allen Iverson at time. Like, if I have to do this by myself, I can do it by myself. And he was sensational at the right time. Because when you take a look at the statistics for both of these quarterbacks as they line up, 255 for Purdy is about what he does. He just doesn't throw interceptions and throws touchdown passes. You'd be more surprised at four interceptions and no touchdowns than four touchdowns and no interceptions. But you flip it back to Lamar Jackson here. 252 in the air, two touchdowns, no interceptions, ran at the appropriate times, as you said, that electric run here to set up that field goal late. I thought they were great. Here's the interesting point, Davis, about the 49ers, which every single game, it feels like the same thing. They threw for over 300 yards combined because Purdy left in that game with the stinger. Darnold chipped in for 81 yards, but McCaffrey goes over 100 yards, only 14 carries. George Kittle, $126. Ayuk at 113. There's so many weapons out here. I'm surprised when they lose football games and particularly get blown out by the Ravens. But if we flip this over and start taking a look at what we anticipate for the rest of the season, I didn't have the Ravens winning this game. Davis, the first bet I made in the summer was for the Ravens to win the Super Bowl in an 18-1 price. I'm loving it because now it looks like they have the inside track for the number one overall seed. And now the San Francisco 49ers are going to have a really interesting game in week 18 going up against the Los Angeles Rams.
Yes, I mean, that game against the Rams could end up very well being the determiner of who gets the one seed, because the Eagles, you know, they've already played their hard games, right? I mean, they get a home game against the Arizona Cardinals, and they get to play the Giants again in Week 18. No disrespect to our New York era, New York area fans, but I mean, things are bleak in the Big Apple. Both of the teams that are New York teams and actually play in Jersey, they're not that good. They're really not good. And so the Eagles are drawing pretty live to the one seed right now. And by the way, you know, McVay and Stafford, they would love to stick it to the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, boy, would they love. And I mean, the Rams are like super live to get like a kind of a good seed for the NFC playoffs right now. Right now, the Rams are about 67% to make the playoffs. But if you give them a win against the Giants this week, then they go up to about 85%. And you give them a win against the 49ers, they are going to be like the five seed, you know, like they're going to make like a significant improvement. So like all of that is all that's pretty interesting. And the 49ers not getting that first round bye, it kind of be a disaster after how good they've been in the regular season.
Yeah, Trent Williams goes down yesterday with a groin injury, and MRI set up today. Brock Purdy, a couple stingers in back-to-back weeks here, or at least the second stinger of the season. We'll see how that turns out, but certainly a lot to get through in the NFC. And also, if you're a Rams fan, you always love when the 49ers lose, but did you really want them to lose those games? Because Week 18 might have been a double bye week de facto here for the San Francisco 49ers. Now they're absolutely going to need that, which is going to make for sensational TV when it gets there. But let's focus on the Ravens, Davis, here, and where they go from here. If we're looking at the conference winners, the Baltimore Ravens a plus 200 price to win the AFC, the Miami Dolphins at a plus 330 price, followed by the Chiefs at a plus 350. If we're looking at the Ravens and the Dolphins, this could switch up next weekend. Why? Because the Miami Dolphins are going to take on the Baltimore Ravens. That gauntlet continues for the Ravens after that beautiful victory yesterday over the 49ers. If we're looking at this, because if they didn't play each other, it's a little bit easier to answer. Like, oh yeah, the Ravens would be the number one seed. But do you think there's a legitimate chance the Dolphins, maybe without Jalen Waddle, can go into Baltimore and win that game? Because I preface it by saying that was a huge emotional win for the Ravens, playing it up as if nobody respects us. Now you better respect us. That's going to be a great game. And also, who do you think wins the AFC championship this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Ravens do. I think the Ravens, and actually I would pick the Bills as the second team behind them. My deal with the Dolphins is I don't think they match up that well against other very good teams. Now, they did get that win against the Cowboys. It's a big win, first win they got this year over a team that was 500 or better. But, I mean, did they really show anything to you in that game? Did I really say, you know what, Tua is a warrior, McDaniel is a witness? It's like the Cowboys fumbled on the one-yard line, handing the ball to the fullback. That is like unbelievable play calling. Like when you have CeeDee Lamb and all, it's really unbelievable. I guess that was a good win for them in the sense that it would have been pretty easy to choke that game away, especially after, they get the ball back, they're down and they do lead the drive, but I don't know. I personally am not sold on the Miami Dolphins. And I think the Ravens are the best team in the AFC, but regardless of any of the records or the seedings or anything, and you put every AFC team in a single elimination tournament, I'd probably take the Bills over anyone right now, just because like I think cumulatively 1 through 53, they're probably the best team.
By the way, this funny point, and I guess the early in the game plan for Mike McCarthy was apparently to get his fullback the football as much as he could. Like if you were making like a bad football movie where one team fumbles on the goal line, when they showed that play where Dak Prescott handed off to the fullback, it looked like he could care less whether he got the football or not and just dropped it. And then actually kept going into the end zone as if he had the football, like it was CGI'd back into his arm. That was the game at that point here. But also, the Dallas Cowboys just needed a stop at the end of the football game, weren't able to do it, which again gives a lot of life to the Miami Dolphins here with a legitimate chance to get that number one overall seed. If we look at those Super Bowl odds today, even with the victory yesterday for the Baltimore Ravens, they're still in second place here in that odds race. The San Francisco 49ers plus 240, the Baltimore Ravens here sitting at 4-1, followed by the Dolphins at plus 750. A long way to go. We're talking NFL in the early line. Make sure you get the right here, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More Christmas Day football reactions right here on the Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside, Davis Maddock here in the morning on a glorious Tuesday morning. Well, maybe not for those Kansas City Chiefs fans and backers. This was an interesting game to start. Now, it's something that if you sat down in front of the TV, most people had their family over. Some people say, like, boy, this doesn't look like the Kansas City Chiefs teams I remember from the past 3 to 4 years racing up and down the field. It's more of a labored effort now. The one thing that went right for me in this game, Davis, is I did take an anytime touchdown for Isaiah Pacheco. I actually thought he would have a lot of yards in this game. That wasn't the case. But the one thing I didn't count on was the front seven for the Raiders putting absolute pressure on Patrick Mahomes. It felt like every play. And Davis, I thought I was actually watching a street yard football game at this point because it looked like it was 1-2-3, run for my life, try to make something happen. The Raiders were impressive on defense and just waited out the Kansas City Chiefs 20-14. What happened with the Chiefs, Davis?
I mean, honestly, I wish I knew. I wish I could tell you what their deal is. I mean, I think there are a lot of factors, right? The offensive talent, definitely worse than last year, even. Travis Kelce is pretty clearly playing through this injury that's been plaguing him since the beginning of the season. I mean, it was not that long ago we thought he might miss the entire year with that hyperextended knee that he suffered right before the kickoff game against the Detroit Lions. The offensive line, I mean, both of the tackles are just getting mauled every play. It's like Pat has about a second and a half before the ends are closing around in on him. They, you know, lost their offensive coordinator that they've had through this entire run, Eric Bieniemy. They replaced him with Matt Nagy. Like, it just feels like pretty much everything that could have gone wrong for them has gone wrong. I guess Rashi Rice being a dependable, you know, good wide receiver, that is an upgrade. That's one of the things. But like Sky Moore, no development in year two. Jerick McKinnon was out of this game. Kadarius Toney, for all of Kadarius Toney's flaws, and there are a billion of them, Toney is like the one guy who can at least always get open. Now, getting the ball to him and having him catch that ball and not, you know, put it in the hands of a defender, you can't always say that. It was just, I mean, O'Connell had, what was it, one completed pass in the second half? Two completed passes and a defensive pass interference in the second half. And they still couldn't do it. Because every time they got the ball, it was just like moving a rock up a hill. You know, they were Sisyphus pushing the boulder up the hill on offense. They had like that 8-minute drive. I can't even, dude. That was the worst time, the worst game of the Mahomes era of the Chiefs. That was worse than the 2021 Titans loss, worse than the 2019 Raiders loss. I mean, it was unwatchable. It was like the worst game of the day by far.
The Chiefs have a pretty good defense, and they held the Raiders down in that football game. But one thing I couldn't get out of the way is in the second half, I said to myself, if Spagnuolo is like, man, why don't we just put a 9-man box? They clearly don't want to throw the football. And even when they ran and needed to get yards, they always got them. Even on that final drive, it's like, we know how important, Davis, that first down carry is. Hold them to a 2nd and 8, and you hold the cards. You rip off 7 right off the bat. You knew where that was going. A couple long runs there on that final drive from Zamir White. At the half, I said to myself, how's this game going to play off? And by the way, Harrison Butker, one of the best field goal kickers in the NFL, you felt a little bit of the air go out of the building on that miss right before the break, which would have put it to a 17-10 game. But I still thought the MO for the second half would have been like, okay, the Chiefs are going to get it together. They're going to take the lead. I took Patrick Mahomes in a parlay to go over 25.5 yards rushing for the game. Easily got that finish with 53. But here's where I missed. I actually thought the Chiefs would have the lead in the second half, so the Raiders would start the pass. At the half, Davante Adams had 4 yards receiving. I took him at 26.5 for the game, and then altered him to 40, going like, that's maybe 2 or 3 catches in the second half, and possibly if they're down in the fourth quarter, you have to throw. It never got there. The Raiders, as I said, just waited this entire game out, and it worked. Usually, you have to be aggressive, because I remember it was either Tony Romo or Jim Nantz saying, Davis, by the way, down double digits in his career, Patrick Mahomes has a winning record, which is ridiculous. The Chiefs, Davis, just could never come back and gain any steam there.
they got no steam. And I mean, you're right. Mahomes is one of those guys where it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, remember they were down 17-0 at home to Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans in the 2019 playoffs, and they ended up with 35 points at halftime. I mean, that, I guess, really is the big difference between this Chiefs team and Chiefs teams of years past, is that they have no explosive plays. They can get down the field and they can run and they can do the 7-yard passes to Kelce and the screens to Rashee Rice. But at no point when you're watching them are you like, oh, well, there's just going to be a 40-yard touchdown out of nothing. You know, the longest play of the day was a total broken play in the fourth quarter to Richie James, who, by the way, I think they should be planning on playing a lot more, like with Sky Moore out, Tony banged up, and just like Tony is just so unreliable. Jerick McKinnon is on the IR. I think Richie James is maybe one of the ways they can start to generate some, because Richie James has been all right. There was that famous Monday night game against the Green Bay Packers where he had 180 yards and a touchdown back in the Jimmy Garoppolo days for the 49ers. And he was all right last year for the Giants as well, but it's just, it's bleak, man. At this point, I think it has gotten late too early for the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't see a reversal of fortunes and they get to the playoff and they win three road games. You know, they beat the Ravens in Baltimore. They beat the Bills in Buffalo. Like, I want to see it. I want to close my eyes and imagine that. But I really, honestly, at this point, like them losing a road game to the Cleveland Browns feels more likely.
Yeah, everything is hard on them for offense, which does make it tougher. We'll see if they can rebound, still in control of their destiny to win the AFC West. But then again, Patrick Mahomes going on the road to go in some tough environments in the playoffs. We haven't seen that in the past, and certainly this isn't the most explosive version of the Kansas City Chiefs that we've seen. Let's head over to Philadelphia yesterday. A Christmas Day battle. The Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants. 33-25 final. The Philadelphia Eagles put away the Giants by 8, but boy, it got close in the second half. Now, the thing I like is I wanted to see the Philadelphia Eagles get on track on offense and have a pretty complete game. They had 465 yards and 28 first downs in that game. But it's the mistakes that the Philadelphia Eagles made. It's getting a kickoff in the second half and fumbling right away by running into your own player. It's an interception that wasn't Jalen Hurts' fault. You slip out on Dallas Goedert, it goes back the other way. It's that deep ball late in the game, this Darius Slayton with 5 minutes to go, that brings it to back within a 5-point game. But then you saw the Philadelphia Eagles do what they do, 9 plays, 50 yards in 4 minutes and 12 seconds to go up 8 points. And then yet again, the Giants got all the way down close to the red zone with a late interception by Kelee Ringo to finally seal that game. The Eagles haven't made it easy this year. Don't win very many games by double digits, even when they're favored by a lot. But I did like the performance because you just needed to get a win. And now some things open up after that 49ers loss. And also, Davis, it looks like the Tommy Cutlet days could be over in New York. Talk to me about the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants from what you saw yesterday.
Kind of a bummer for the Tommy Cutlets thing to be over, don't you think? Like, it just, I don't know. I like guys with a little bit of personality. Like, it was definitely a fun storyline. I don't think anyone was expecting it to go anywhere. You know, I don't think anyone thought DeVito would be starting for the Giants next year. Tyrod Taylor came in. He played pretty well, right? I mean, he did the Tyrod thing, made some good first down conversions on scrambles, hit Slayton for that deep one at the end, hit Waller, by the way. I mean, Waller was like really churning on that final drive. I kind of thought they might do it. You know, it's like, I don't know. They just are looking like that team. And then Tyrod with that just like really bad throw at the end. The Giants kind of mismanaged the clock on that final drive as well. You know, the Eagles are, they're a weird team. They're a weird team. They're definitely not built to play from behind. So this was much more that style, but I would put any of the concerns about their performance yesterday to just like the weirdest stuff. I mean, that fumble on the kickoff return to start the second half, you play that game 1,000 times. That only happens once. I mean, that is just, it's just a complete accident. Football is a weird game. And turnovers are going to have a big outsized impact on the score, on the scoreline, you know, but if they don't do that, right? So if they just get the fair catch on that kickoff or whatever, go down and even just get a field goal. I mean, the entire tenor of the game is different, right? So it's one of those things where the scoreline definitely makes it look like this was a really competitive game, but the Giants were never seriously going to win. Like the Eagles were, and DeAndre Swift on that final Eagles drive, I mean, that is what has been missing over the last 2 months of the season, is they have not had, I don't think they've had one drive like that where the defense knew they were running, the defense knew DeAndre Swift was getting the ball, and Swift was still saying, you can't get your mitts on me. Like, he was so good on that final drive. Why have they not played Rashad Penny? Because Swift has been, and literally until that drive, so bad. I do not understand why Rashad Penny has not gotten a crack in the rotation.
Yeah, he's that perfect hammer. He doesn't even get activated on Sundays, which is interesting because he was a herald of, hey, look, got him cheap here. We'll see what he has, him and Swift, that 1-2 combination. It hasn't been a 1-2 combination at all. But you are right about the Philadelphia Eagles in that spot where it's like, I don't really know what to make of them because their entire starting linebacking core, which isn't great, was down yesterday. Darius Slay obviously got his knee scoped. He'll be back for the playoffs. So you're down a cornerback. You're playing some young guys here. Avante Maddox's 21-day window has opened up and looks like he's coming back, one of the better slot corners in football. So if you have a healthy Maddox heading into the playoffs with your linebacking core coming back, yeah, there's a lot of optimism that the Eagles can get back to those teams that were starting to win those games against the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins moving forward. And also now, if the 49ers, Davis, had rolled yesterday in their game against the Ravens, it's like, well, yeah, everybody's really playing for second place in the NFC. But when you see a game, it reminds us football is football. And any given Sunday, you can have great performances. You can say, boy, I didn't expect that out of that team here. The Philadelphia Eagles have two easy games on their schedule, at least they think, home against the Arizona Cardinals, and then again, the season finale up in New York against the New York Giants. There is a lot to be determined coming up, and certainly we'll have some fun taking a look and breaking down all of those things. Who's going to get the number one seed? Who can win the Super Bowl? My goodness, the NFL. If you like parity coming down the stretch, we absolutely have that. Let's take a look at some other football games over the weekend and how they turned out right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More armchair quarterback right here on the Early Line. Who loves it? And by the way, we got a game coming up right now that we're going to talk about here that I wasn't even sure was played in the last month because it feels like we've watched so much football, ate so much good food, and had so much good hanging out time over the holidays, you sort of forget some of these things. But yeah, the Buffalo Bills 24, the Los Angeles Chargers 22. This game was on Saturday. And for my money, again, I find myself always talking and saying, you know, forget about the wins that I have. I get more angry at the losses than celebrations on the wins of wagers that I had. Because early in the week, I looked at this game and said, let me get this straight. The Chargers can't stop anybody. The Buffalo Bills, the one thing they have to do before they get to the playoffs is, yes, win. But let's get Stephon Diggs back into the fold for some big weekends here. And it was the Gabe Davis game. Four catches, 130 yards, and one touchdown. I needed Josh Allen to throw two touchdown passes, Davis. And if you would have told me before the game, hey, Donnie, I got you. Josh Allen's going to account for three touchdowns. I go, he probably threw all three, but maybe he ran one in and had a quarterback sneak, but at least he's going to throw me two touchdown passes. No, he ran two touchdowns in and only passed for one, and they needed every inch of that football game just to put away the Chargers.
This was definitely one of the more surprising outcomes of the entire week. And I mean, I'm totally with you. Like, we were still looking at the rundown for this show. I'm like, what, the Bills played who, when? Easton Stick was involved. But I thought it would have been the funniest win of the entire season had the Los Angeles Chargers ended up winning this game, because obviously there's all this momentum for the Bills right now. Everyone in the AFC is like kind of blowing it to one degree or the other and just kind of opening the, you know, parting the seas for the Buffalo Bills to get a better seed in the conference. And yeah, they really scrapped for it. I guess maybe we could have fallen on the old narrative that the Chargers were going to be really fired up to play now that Staley is out of the building. I mean, that's kind of your classic sports betting angle where the guys are just sick of playing for the coach or whatever. You know, the Bills, the weirdest thing about the Bills is I feel like their best strength right now is actually running the ball with James Cook. And he was all right in this game. I mean, he had 20 carries, but only generated 70 yards on them. But it's also just very bizarre that Stephon Diggs is not having a good year. Like, the Bills are on this crazy winning streak right now, and Diggs has not developed, like, he has not delivered a signature performance in quite some time. Like, I don't really know what to make of that.
It is incredible. Like, I thought it was one of those games, and it's not even, sometimes you don't really have the necessary handicap there. It's almost like intuition, like, okay, here's what should happen against this team. We're not playing in rainy Buffalo or freezing cold Buffalo or anywhere else. It's in a dome against a dead football team. And they played really, really hard, the Chargers, and basically coming off a game where they give up 63 points against the Raiders. I thought the sky might have been the limit, but again, the Buffalo Bills coming off an emotional victory over the Dallas Cowboys, you might have saw a little bit of a downturn. I just thought they would kick it into a little bit more high gear on offense, but a win is a win, and they're in the playoff race as we go forward, and certainly with a legitimate chance still to win the AFC East, because why? The Miami Dolphins are going to take on the Baltimore Ravens this weekend. Let's get to Sunday Night Football, which was Christmas Eve, and I was shocked by this final score. We were prepping for this game, Davis, on Pro Football Today, and said to myself, is there a worse spot that a football team can be in? Out of the playoffs, playing at night on Christmas Eve, a few thousand miles away from home. Let's fly in, let's get our tail kicked, let's fly home and enjoy Christmas with our family. And that was Bailey Zappe scoring 20 unanswered points in the third quarter to win this football game 26-23. I don't even know what weapons they used for the New England Patriots, what scheme they had, but Zappe goes 33 times for 256, two touchdowns, and no interceptions, and a passer rating of 117. And the Patriots have not given up on their season, get their fourth win, which if you're a Patriots fan, you're kind of upset because you're ruining your draft position. But this is a bad loss for the Denver Broncos.
It's a bad loss for the Broncos, although I think if you really, you know, if you got Sean Payton alone and you got a couple drinks in him, I think he'd say, dude, I cannot wait to get rid of Russell Wilson. Like, I do not want to coach this guy. I don't want to, because the offense is not a Sean Payton based offense. You know, I mean, it kind of is like a facsimile of the late era Drew Brees, where it was just like everything was really close to the line of scrimmage. They would take like three shots a game, really low percentage plays. That's what the Broncos look like right now. I think Sean Payton, I mean, he's probably 20 quarterbacks he would take over Russell Wilson in that building. And yeah, I mean, the Patriots fans have to absolutely be punching air right now, because they are right now, they're projected to have the fourth pick. They have the reverse tiebreaker to the Commanders, so the Commanders actually pick ahead of them right now. Chicago and Arizona are huge favorites to get the first and the second pick at this point. And the Patriots would have loved to have had Caleb Williams or Drake May in the building, I think. And I don't know, you know, maybe Chicago ends up wanting to trade this pick. Zappe, I mean, I don't think you want to start Zappe, but like, what's going to happen to Mac Jones? Is Mac Jones going to be a career backup? Is he going to be cut? Like, what is the career path for former first round pick Mac Jones? I don't even know.
It's crazy because, like, Bill Belichick is winning while leaving out the door at the end of the season. So it's like, hey, we're still trying over here. And the professional athletes on the field, they're not going to be tanking. I always like to say it's up to the front office to tank. But Bill Belichick is the front office and the head coach of the Patriots and possibly leaving the franchise at the end of the season. It's pretty wild that he's going out with wins here. The fans like, yeah, ooh, nah. It's hard to do that as a fan because you always want your team to win, except when the stakes are, boy, we can really turn around our franchise with a fantastic quarterback in this draft. And Belichick's going like, yeah, enjoy that like number 12 overall pick, because that's what you're going to end up with as we keep winning down the stretch here. Let's take a quick snapshot here, Davis, at the AFC playoff picture. And I don't even want to focus on the top teams, the Ravens, the Dolphins, the Chiefs. When we talk about parity entering in the final 2 weeks of the season, this is unbelievable. The seventh seed currently right now as it stands is the Indianapolis Colts at 8-7. The 12th seed is the Denver Broncos at 7-8. That means you have the Colts, Texans, Steelers, Bengals, Raiders, and Broncos all jammed up in that spot trying to fight for those final two spots here. If I gave you two teams, and again, so much is going to change, Davis, over the next 2 weeks here. Who do you think are going to be the 7 and 8 seeds right now here in the AFC if you had to pick?
I think the 7 and 8 seeds are probably going to be the Bengals and the Colts, I think. Ooh. I don't know, man. It's like the Jake Browning thing. Look, it finally went so bad this last week. But the Bengals play the Chiefs this weekend. But if the Chiefs lose to the Jake Browning Bengals, I might have to. I'm gonna have to find like a tall body of water to go sit at the very bottom of. I don't know. I don't know how I'm gonna come back from that one. The only team of this list: Browns, Bills, Bengals, Steelers, the only team I do not want to see is the Steelers. I cannot watch a Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph playoff game. Like, it, as it sits right now, these are all pretty fun teams that we are dealing with, right? Like, the Browns are chucking the ball deep. We got, you know, like, it's a whole experience. But if the Steelers gate crash us, the worst thing would be if Flacco gets hurt and we're back to Dorian Thompson Robinson or PJ Walker quarterbacking the Browns in the playoffs. Like, no one wants that. No one wants the Browns as they exist right now with Flacco are fun. No one wants the PJ Walker Browns in the playoffs. Not even PJ Walker, I don't think.
It's a rebirth here, Davis, for Amari Cooper and David Njoku here. We're using the deep ball. We're stretching defenses in Cleveland. This is what's supposed to be fun. And yes, you're right. We'll get Kenny Pickett, who, okay, I got the tightrope surgery on my ankle. I have a huge brace. I'm still going to start because I'm the starter. And that game ends up like, you know, 9-3 in the playoffs here. Hopefully that does not happen. But let's flip it over to the NFC and what we were watching here over the Christmas holidays. The Miami Dolphins in a monster game, 22-20 over the Dallas Cowboys with a late field goal in that one. Dallas was live all throughout the game, and maybe you can just point towards early in that football game, fumbling on the goal line when all you had to do, hey, there's a tush push you could use. You got Tony Pollard in the backfield, but you hand it to a fullback that's not used to carrying it. You end up with a disaster, and that's a disastrous effort here for the Cowboys losing that game. Tagovailoa, 293 in the air, one touchdown pass. Dak Prescott, 253 in the air, and two touchdown passes here. CeeDee Lamb was good, 6 for 118. But they disappeared him, talking about that Dallas offense with CeeDee Lamb for a long portion of that game. That's a big win for the Dolphins here.
I mean, at the end, like in the entire second half, it was like they forgot he was on the team. They threw the ball to him five times on the first drive. I think he had 4 for 94 and 1 at the end of the first quarter. And then they just forgot CeeDee Lamb existed, and they were handing the ball off to Tony Pollard. I have no idea what. It feels like McCarthy and Schottenheimer are so close to building what could be an offense that would rival the 49ers as the best in the NFC, and then they just lose their mind for quarters at a time. And look, I love Tony Pollard. He has been one of the better running backs in the NFL. Like, every time, you know, he'd come in and after Zeke would get the ball, it was like just a breath of fresh air. It was unbelievable. And the guy has like negative juice. I mean, that carry, where that 1 yard carry where he was like basically his whole body was in the end zone except for the ball and he got tackled, yes, which actually ended up leading to the fullback fumble. I mean, that's just the type of stuff that as an NFL running back is like unforgivable. Your job is so simple. You got to convert those opportunities in high leverage situations, and he couldn't do it. The weirdest thing to me about the Dolphins performance was that, you know, A-Chain looked good, but Mostert like would hurt his ankle and then come back in. And I was like kind of ready for A-Chain to just be sort of the secret sauce, the thing that really got the Dolphins over the line. And I guess he's just playing through this turf toe thing, but he has not looked near as explosive the last 2 weeks. I mean, even Jeff Wilson Jr. was in there getting touches. And it feels like with Waddle out with this high ankle sprain, shin injury, that they're going to need A-Chain, who is, you know, the only other like super fast guy on the offense, to be making more plays in space, but maybe he's too banged up to do it.
Yeah, it looks like he is, too, because you saw Mostert go down in that game with an ankle sprain. Now, he comes back in the game and plays fine, which was great for them, but you saw them go to Wilson as opposed to A-Chain, which let us know that he probably wasn't all there. How about this game? Seattle and Tennessee. Carbon copy the week before with a different quarterback. Seattle needs to put a drive together to win a football game, and they did. One with Drew Lock, one with Geno Smith. Playoff hopes alive in Seattle, 8-7 on the season now with a 3-point win over the Tennessee Titans. And Ryan Tannehill, terrible last drive, taking multiple sacks. That's just what he does, Davis.
Ryan Tannehill was put on earth to do one thing, Donnie Rideside, and that is to take the worst sack you've ever seen on third down. I've watched Ryan Tannehill play a lot of football ever since he was at the University of Texas A&M, and he has never not taken a sack on third down when there's just no need to do it. And you got to give a pretty big shout out to Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks, because people have this team off, you know, multiple times, and they are right there in the thick of it, about 70% to make the playoffs. They have a nice schedule the next 2 weeks. They get to play the Steelers at home, then they get to play at the Cardinals, like really strong chance for them to make the playoffs, and it's been a tumultuous season, but they're playing good ball.
Wild chips and turns here. And by the way, the Tennessee, you know, Titans not going with Malik Willis, going with Ryan Tannehill, saying, you know what, Derrick Henry, then the season will still give you 19 carries, 88 yards, and a touchdown. They really played hard in that football game and probably should have won because the Seahawks offense was really bad right up into the fourth quarter where they scored those two touchdowns there. And yes, parity is unbelievable. That NFC playoff picture, as you're watching right now, everything up for grabs. The one seed, the two seed, the three, the four, the five, the six, tiebreakers all around. Make sure you have your calculator out for the final 2 weeks to determine who actually has playoff seeding in their favor, who needs to win out, who doesn't, because usually it's paint by numbers. Not this year, people. Bowl brawl? Is that what we're seeing here in college football? Let's talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Bowl season is supposed to be a time of celebration. You're supposed to have a season that maybe didn't go your way or maybe really went your way in a bowl game by winning a non-Power 5 conference in a celebration. You get to go a little bit south and get some warmer weather and play in a football game. Not the case here. And by the way, Davis, if you didn't check in the scores from the 68 Ventures Bowl, Eastern Michigan 59, South Alabama 10. Yes, 15. Is that right? Eastern Michigan won by 59. Is that what I'm seeing here? Does anybody check that in the back? Is that correct? Because I actually thought it might have been the other way. So 59-10, Eastern Michigan rolls. But that wasn't even the big part of that game. You know what it was? Eastern Michigan is now apologizing to South Alabama for a player's punch that sparked a bowl brawl, which if anybody watched from the sidelines here, they had a couple cameras on this, should I say phones, that were videotaping. A player comes out of nowhere, sucker punches another player, and a melee ensues at that point. Now, I don't know who the player was, Davis, but I got to assume this guy's like, last time I'm ever playing football again, let me make the best of the situation. Unbelievable. Bad sportsmanship, Davis.
Yeah, extremely bad sportsmanship. And you're right. I've never seen this before. The box score is displaying this wrong. It was Southern Alabama that scored 59 points. They had four passing touchdowns, four rushing touchdowns. But I've never seen this before. I'm literally looking at the box score and the arrow is point, like it's reversed. I don't know why it's showing the 59 points for Eastern Michigan, which is not correct. I got a tie. Actually, to Eastern Michigan, my childhood best friend is the special teams coordinator for Eastern Michigan. I bet he was not very happy about his team being involved in a literal sideline brawl there at the end. Yeah, I gotta shoot him a text and be like, dude, you gotta control your voice. We can't be having brawls out here on the Christmas week bowl games.
And by the way, here's a quick little topic for you. ESPN says 59-10 Eastern Michigan. This is why you need the Sports Grid app on your phone. You get the correct information when you need it, not in a live segment where we're seeing the wrong scores out here, people. That's just what happens. Hour number two is on its way next. The early line on Tuesday morning. We'll be right back.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.